Hello and good morning. And welcome to another podcast with Let's Talk Cloud Networking Unscripted with myself, Noman Mustafa, and John Gonzalez. Today, another exciting episode. And we are very fortunate to have one of key architects in the cloud that we have been working with, Razwan Matai. He has been one of our very early adopters of Aviatrix platform. True knowledgeable in the cloud space, and we would like to maybe share his journey and his learning of the cloud to our audience. And you know, in this world where you know we are learning pretty much every day, it's important to stay close to peers who are actually doing it, and they are learning it also from supporting their business. And you know, it's always good to have these insights shared with the fellow peers who are helping their businesses going to the cloud. So, Razwan, a warm welcome here to our tea podcast. Good to see you again. I know that you have a new look now in this COVID. I mean, it suits you. So, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Nice to meet you guys as well.
So, Razwan, what I wanted to maybe start with, right, is to share something about yourself in terms of how you actually started picking up cloud and what has been your cloud journey at a personal level. And then also, how did you end up with EasyMile, and a little bit introduction about what does EasyMile do? I know that they have been in autonomous vehicle business for a while. It's one of the more prominent businesses in this area in the Europe space. So maybe something about yourself and then something about EasyMile.
Yes. My journey into the cloud started about 10 years ago. I could say it was the time when this technology started to emerge. And all the way until now, I've been witnessing various transformations that the companies had. I worked in the last 10 years in quite a few places, and I was able to witness this transformation. And all throughout this journey, like you called it, I saw how businesses and people, developers, architects, adapt to the transform landscape that cloud brings into each company. My journey at EasyMile started 3 years ago after, I worked in many other companies in Europe, in Finland, then in France. But what I noticed now when I look back at this part is that in the last 5 years, my work was quite focused and quite driven in the sense that I was working in a connected objects company. I think it with the advent of cloud and the data as a new, let's say, as the oil of the 21st century, basically my career was shaped in such a way that I tended to stick with places that where you can learn, where you can see this transformation taking place. And I think EasyMile is somehow a natural place for me to be after these years. We basically, EasyMile is a company that develops driverless vehicle solutions, transport solutions. It's not manufacturing cars for individuals, like for people, but rather buses, trams, shuttles, more like industrial level type of transportation. But the common denominator is the same. They are driverless. They are without a driver. And I think in some sense, while we are talking about the company that is not a pure cloud technology company, somehow the technology of autonomous vehicles taken together with the cloud technology and then with the data, it's a natural mix at the end of the day that it's quite interesting to be in and see it develop.
It's certainly an interesting space. It's the most, I think, you know, autonomous vehicles is going to be the most evolving space, you know, certainly in the next 10 years. You know, all governments have got their green energy targets they are aspiring to meet. And, you know, certainly here in the UK by 2030, no petrol or diesel cars or vehicles on the road, it'll be prohibited. So, you know, hurry up and get the great, you know, electric vehicle sorted out and the great battery for sure. I'm waiting to buy one, as I said earlier. But Rizwan, look, can I ask you, so the coming from I came from an on-prem world where I got completely started to get completely bored with the traditional networking and the traditional vendors that, you know, own that space for many, many, many years and decades. And one of the reasons I came to Aviatrix, like you, wanted to learn new things, wanted to evolve my skills and knowledge within the cloud, etc. And what I found was, you know, for me at least, networking was getting boring. Networking and to a certain degree, security was getting boring on-prem. Coming to the cloud, it's got more exciting again. Do you see that same sort of enthusiasm about cloud networking and security? And if you do, does Aviatrix help to bring that enthusiasm by the platform that it's developed over the last sort of 7-8 years? And folks now, you know, network engineers, new style network engineers, not your traditional CCIEs, et cetera, the SDN, the millennials that have, you know, don't want to know iOS or EOS or, you know, Nexus platforms anymore. They just want to do SDN in the cloud. Do you see that same sort of trend happening, you know, in the last decade since you've been in the cloud space?
Definitely. Actually, it's a very good question. And this might come as a surprise, actually, at core. I'm not a pure network engineer. My journey within the realm of networking began more than 5 years ago in a Finnish company, a cybersecurity company called F-Secure. And I remember even now that even at that time, they were a classic on-prem type of company. We had a dedicated group of very hardcore network engineers. And I remember even now that at times the subjects of network was for the rest of the company or even the team sort of like magic or black magic domain where it's better not to get involved or else there'll be dragons, you know. So from that time until now, we reached to the point that, for example, nowadays within EasyMile, my colleagues, which are all of us are part of operations team, which are is not a dedicated networking team. We cover a lot of areas. From infrastructure to automation, networking, even machine learning. So we have a lot of terrain to cover. But I can tell you that for better or worse, the experience with the Aviatrix somehow convinced them actually to get involved, to learn, and it's somehow a surprise, but it became fascinating for them. Otherwise, networking is not a subject that people want to get involved with, usually, especially in startups, or they find many other more fascinating areas to deal with. But in this case in particular, since we started our journey with Aviatrix, let's say that the product is enough interesting so that they themselves became interested in networking, which before it was unheard of in a sense. Of.
Right. And almost, you know, your traditional networker has, you know, or the traditional networking skill has relevance. I'm not saying it has no relevance, but it has less relevance in the cloud because it's a different type of networking. You need some basic knowledge on networking. Yeah, it helps, but you don't have to, certainly don't have to be a CCNP, certainly don't have to be a CCIE to come to the cloud. You can learn, relearn the technologies, the capabilities, etc., you know, quicker and easier in my view.
Yeah, I think it's important to understand from a networking security perspective, whether you are a very experienced individual in on-prem world, or you are sort of being tasked to handle networking security, you need to understand what you need, what your application needs. So they need security, visibility, compliance, governance. Yeah. You need to build things for your mission critical applications, right? And you cannot afford to have an outages. You cannot afford to have security breaches. And sometimes when people go to the cloud, they assume that cloud takes care of everything. In fact, this is basically enterprise's responsibility. You need to have architects who really understand what can I get out from CSPA versus CSPB, and how can I build my own network that can handle and take care of my applications in a way which is secure, high performance, scalable, resilient, right? So that's the sort of a things that I think a lot of people are realizing now. And I think Avitrix, just as Razwan said, that it makes it easy. And when you make it easy for people, they come and they start to work with it, right? And enjoy working with it, I think, which is good. So coming back to autonomous vehicle, Razwan, I have a question that, you know, this technology area, right, is very sensitive in the sense that you are making real-time decisions based on certain data feeds, right? And it's basically, in many cases, a matter of life and death, right? So the data and how you compute the data is very, very important. And let's say if you are hosting certain applications in the cloud, the latency, the sensitivity, the should not have any glitches in that processing is very important. So what has been your experience, and how does the cloud benefit the business like EasyMile in that? Do you see that cloud and the connectivity to the cloud is enough and important in this regard to be able to provide that critical performance out of it, that you can make certain decisions with full confidence? And what are the things that you have seen that from a Avitrix perspective, how you have been able to accommodate some of these things in a day-to-day sort of operations that you have at EasyMile?
Well, in essence, the vehicles, the driverless vehicles, are in essence connected objects. And on top of that, having a reliable network connection, mm-hmm, and a low latency connection is essential to how they operate. Basically, all the software that deals with piloting the vehicles all throughout the world is located into the cloud. So it's clear that while the vehicles themselves are quite complex as a piece of hardware, they have redundant security capabilities, safety measures on board. At the end of the day, they run smoothly when everything works reliably end to end, that is from the terrain where the vehicle is deployed to the cloud. And to be honest, at the beginning, when we started this journey, we sort of didn't immediately see the importance of this network connectivity. In a sense, it's like having I suspect that for a domain like ours, it's like having water pipes for a house. You know they are there. Everybody counts on them somehow to be always reliable and delivering the service. But as soon as you have a problem, it's really a big problem. Mm-hmm. So when we studied the implication of how connectivity affects our business, it was immediately clear that, for example, from the point of view of deployment of these vehicles, security or safety is of utmost importance to have something that is low latency, reliable, consistent, and where it can have visibility. the vehicle itself is autonomous in the sense of how it works on the road, how it detects obstacles. So it has a certain degree of a certain capability of reacting by itself, but the network link is at the end of the day essential for piloting it consistently throughout the day or throughout the deployment. And what happened is that it was immediately clear that given the number of places and places as in geographical places like where these vehicles are deployed, it was now impossible to have local on-prem sort of control centers for the vehicles. Mm-hmm. Not to mention the fact that because of various safety regulations and which are quite tight from country to country, you need to have a remote capability of surveying the vehicle, of responding to like an emergency, even by video or by audio. So in this sense, having points of presence as close as possible to the location where vehicle is deployed was essential. Mm. If you add to that the fact that all of this has to be compliant from the point of view of security, right? You cannot have a mix up of various network deployments that are all different, that they are all particular. Mm-hmm. Because of the audit requirements, because of how you survey your security, your network flows, it made the task quite difficult to do in the long run. So when we actually implemented our global transit mesh, that's how it's called, using Aviatrix. At the beginning, we didn't immediately realize the implications. I mean, we solved the problems that we had right then. It was great. But we didn't realize the potential that it opens.
Mm-hmm.
Because we never looked at the problem from the angle where you could have a unified, coherent, consistent, global
mm-hmm.
transit network, private also for all of these technologies. So yes, it had quite an impact. And the best story in a sense is that I think we had a bit of resistance at the beginning in doing mm-hmm. this because for our company, it's very focused on the vehicle itself as a piece of technology, and cloud is very much important, but it's also a bit of a black magic in a sense. Mm-hmm. And I remember that we have to insist that if we adopt this strategy of looking at the network, it might open quite a few business opportunities in the future, which are not possible if you don't have it. So in this sense, coming back to how important it is, I think it is core to any company that does connected objects, and even more so to a company that does autonomous vehicles, to have this kind of technology. So I'm not saying just Aviatrix might be the only product which you are able to use, not to be mm-hmm. suspected of much beyond because we are using it, but definitely it helped tremendously in the sense that at the end of the day, our core business is not reinventing the wheel or recreating something that takes a lot of effort to do properly. So when we introduced the Aviatrix product, it was also a moment of we felt a bit more relaxed because before that we anticipated that there would be a lot of work to be done to achieve what we wanted. And the more we studied the implications, the more overwhelmed we were in the sense of the amount of work that we had to do to achieve what we wanted. And once we implemented the aviatrix, we realized that we had a sort of a significant burden taken off.
And that's a great point, Rizwan. And we see a number of customers, they start off, you know, single cloud, DIY, you know, using cloud native constructs. But, you know, until they come across Aviatrix, you know, there's a struggle, there's lack of capability, there's lack of day two management and visibility, et cetera. Then when they want all of this stuff, which Aviatrix provides, then all of a sudden they're enlightened. Christ, why didn't I see you guys earlier? You know,
you
would have saved me hundreds of man hours on resources, automated out the box, secure out the box, etc. Anyway, but Rizwan, you know, you started your cloud journey, or EasyMile started their cloud journey with one cloud. What's the view on, you know, cloud optionality? Do you see yourselves going into another cloud and, you know, and maybe another cloud as well, because, you know, having your vehicles as close as possible to the cloud, right, your points of presence, as you said earlier, then it might force you in a way to have another cloud vendor so that you can have that continuous driverless experience, irrespective of whether you're hosted in one cloud or multiple clouds. Do you see that, or...?
Well, definitely, we came across situations where, of course, everybody knows Amazon as a cloud provider. It's de facto, in a say, standard. But the truth is that as ubiquitous as Amazon is not literally everywhere, and probably will never be, right, because it doesn't make any sense for them. But in the same scene, from the same angle, you, in our case, you could have a customer literally anywhere on the globe. So that brings the challenge that if you want to, for a service that is latency sensitive and for which the edge network is important, that you have to be as close as possible. And I have other stories about how important it is to actually be able to deploy as close to the vehicle as it can be. So multi-cloud is not sort of a question of if should we do it, but we have to. We have scenarios where it's definitely not possible to use Amazon. And another argument is, for example, various countries have various type of regulations concerning how data transits or where it's preserved and stuff like that. So there are many aspects which eventually lead to the conclusion that you have to have a multi-cloud approach to this. And last but not least, not all clouds are created equal. So they differ in terms of capability, they differ in terms of even semantics or how they work. And this is a challenge that many engineers do not, they do not see it up until the point that they really have to do this sort of architecture that is multi-cloud. And then it is really difficult to be consistent across clouds and coherent. You need to develop automation tools that are specific to that cloud. Sure, there are frameworks, there are tools that are more or less try to hide, to abstract away these differences. But at the end of the day, at the networking level, you want that your infrastructure is coherent, consistent, right, and it looks the same. So I would say that it's pretty difficult to do in a way where you have different solutions for different clouds. Even if you manage to connect them, at the end of the day, there will be a bit of a Frankenstein, let's say, in terms
of... Right, Yeah. And you was one of the smart ones that went to Aviatrix early on. So you're ready for that multi-cloud. Thank goodness. Yeah. That's great for you guys. It's going to be a little effort.
Yeah, and that's what my next question from Azwan was, that because normally what happens is people, when they start to host things in the cloud, obviously I think EasyMile have a lot of proprietary stuff that they have built, and in a way you want to abstract that from each cloud provider, so you have option to not lock in into one particular CSP at any given time. As you said, you were saying earlier, that it's all about managing the risk, right? If you want to take that proprietary, you can always take it to other clouds, because you have things that you have build in an abstracted manner. But normally when people go to the cloud, they start looking at what's available, the truck by the CSP, and they start doing things in a DIY manner, you know, stitching things around, and they say, go and build, and you start building and you realize that, hey, this is not going to be operationally efficient. It's not going to be scalable. And you will end up with many different multiple architectures that you keep redoing every time you have to add something new. So how did you stumble across Aviatrix, and what were the key initial use cases, and how it has transformed over the years, providing you a lot more value from your initial investment in Aviatrix?
Well, going to Aviatrix was not a direct path.
Yeah.
Contrary to popular opinion, we needed to fail first. Fortunately, we didn't fail in an epic manner. So actually what happened is that, we tried to... what we did first is that trying to assemble what we needed from what the cloud provider offered, mm-hmm. which works to a certain degree, and I guess that gives you a sense of false security that, hey, look, I managed to do this. This is great. I don't need anything else. This is working perfectly. Unfortunately, the experience shows that as soon as you start to pile up the rest of the requirements, and how do I solve this, for example, how do I implement inter-region transit? How do I connect with the edge devices? How do I connect my offices? It starts to become quite, when you list all the requirements at the end that I want to do this, 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 and this, it becomes exponentially harder. And mm-hmm. suddenly, the bricks that probably some cloud provider offer in terms of networking become, less than sufficient to do. So we tried first to use the built-in bricks of Amazon. They worked for a while. For a while, it was good, like they say. And then we, as soon as we had the new requirements, we tried to locate our mode of thinking was sort of, if you want to, sort of classic. Let's try to find a software router or something, or let's try to combine it ourselves like Lego bricks. I'm going to find a Linux-based router distribution that does this and that. And then you can find some of those, and then you have it working. But then when you have 10 of those, then you have suddenly, oh, wait, we have to configure all of this, and it's like really difficult, and there is no API, and we have to develop this, and we have no interface, and the speed is not optimized in a sense that it is really important for any network equipment, especially gateways, that they are their network truck is really fast, depending on how many cores. There are so many details. Actually, the devil is in the details. It all appears very, it makes sense when you look at it from above, but as soon as you dive in, it's like there are lots of monsters around. Mm-hmm. So, and after we fail like that, okay, we said, everybody heard of a big C name in the industry, they must have a solution. And mm-hmm. we studied that one. And at the end of the day, actually, it was not a day, it was a month, actually, more or less. We realized, wait a second, this is just the hardware equipment that is repacked as an image. So this won't cut it, because there is no, there was an impedance mismatch. So every time you find a network, let's say a classic network provider that tries to to become cloud native or cloud compatible, there is this impedance mismatch that history shows in their approach. They have they carry luggage in how they approach the problem. And then after one or two of these types of trials, we actually said, no, wait a second. There is one more left, because believe it or not, there are not that many players to choose from. At least at that point, 3 years ago, we had maximum three choices. And we got to the aviatrix, actually, after we failed three times, once with the built-in bricks and two other failures with some repackaged hardware, like very known hardware vendor. And then we have, because we failed before, the moment we try to do the same with aviatrix, we have this aha. So this is actually how it should be. So I remember that when I tried to implement our transit, it took me maybe 10 days only to get to the point where I wanted to go, which I previously failed doing it for 3 months. And apropos your previous commentary, John, about classic network, let's say, engineers, it has the fundamentals of networking are needed. They can help you get there faster. Right. Believe it or not, even if you come from a classical, like say, on-prem type of networking, it helps a lot to have this experience. It's not something to easily discard, if you ask me. Because the moment I tried to do this, I realized the value of the proposition that aviatrix does, like in approaching the problem in that manner. So it went very fast. So we failed for a couple of months and then we succeeded in 10 days. But I think we had to fail first, unfortunately.
I think that's the that's what we see most of the time, Newman, right? People are you know, they get bought into the cloud native, they get bought into, oh, I know what I'm doing here, I've done it so many times on prem, I can do it myself, DIY, stitching it together, and then some of it works, some of it doesn't work, difficult to manage, troubleshooting then when there's a production problem. Instead of taking minutes, start taking hours. You know, God forbid it runs into days, you know, in the cloud. If it does, then someone should be fired.
No, I think that's just a very natural transition that we see from 2 years from who started the journey early. They learn in the cloud, they started with DIY, but smart people, which have no ego, they're able to pivot, no problem. They understand that you fail fast and you always look for better solutions. And I think, Rizwan, your journey is very similar to a lot of our other customers, but you also find some smart people who have ego that just kept going down the route. And in many cases, you know, the business hurts. I've seen those customers as well, where, you know, they just very hard for them to accept that there's a better way because they feel it's basically a objection on their credibility to take the wrong decision at the time. Yeah. So I think smart people, and you don't need to have an ego, leave that ego at home, because cloud is very new. Everybody is learning, right? So how can you mature fast? How you can learn fast and go for a better option is the way to go. And it's fascinating to see, you know, you look for three different vendors. Normally, that's how it works, right? People who wants to have a networking solution, they first go to a traditional networking vendor. And then what they find is that cloud washing, which is basically you wrap around a cloud title to the name and say, okay, this is your cloud router. And then you start working with it and you figure out, hey, this is not cloud. And this is exactly what the thing Rizwan mentioned.
But that is the assumption, because it works like it's actually human in a sense, because people... you have to also understand that, for example, startups or like a company like ours, today actually we celebrated 7 years, so we are not that much of a startup, but companies that are just emerging now, they do not have the capabilities of a like big established companies of having like a team of dedicated network engineers, 5 or 6, that take care of all these things. But they do have the need. And what happens is that how it goes is that you say, okay, networking. Okay, who knows networking? Okay, and then you say the big name. You say, okay, I'm going to go there because it makes sense. But the thing is that it's not necessarily, they're not necessarily based on ego, but there is a certain feeling of being conservative, like those guys must know how it's done. No, it's not possible.
Right.
But I think Asiatrix in this area is sort of like a bit of a disruptor in the sense that it's the same as it was, for example, with mobile phones more than 10 years ago when the first iPhone emerged. And I was working in Nokia at that time, and I remember that the discourse was like, these guys, well, we're making phones for 30 years, they don't know the fruit company, nobody knows, you know, they don't know phones and so on. And then it repeated nowadays, for example, with the electric vehicles, like, for example, Tesla, when it first emerged, like the same, like big automakers, Toyota, Volkswagen, you know, you remember how it always goes like this. It takes a while. And the same it is here. So you need to have to be a bit open-minded about what is possible and to be able to recognize the impedance mismatch when you first see it.
With Aviatrix, with our product, with our platform, with our, you know, company goals, this is going to be huge for us. You know, Aviatrix is going to control this space without a doubt. They're going to be the Ciscos of the 2000s, you know, in this century with the modern way of doing technology, networking and security.
Yeah.
Hey, Rizwan, let me, generally we ask our audience, you know, to leave us with a 2 or 3 takeaways, for customers starting their cloud journey or those already on their cloud journey. Thoughts on, you know, your thoughts on pure cloud native versus benefits of leveraging cloud native plus partners, you know, like Aviatrix or like others that are going to come along in the future. What would your sort of recommendations, your advice be? You know?
Well, my take on the cloud and the networking aspect is that we don't want people to misunderstand in a sense that Aviatrix is something that works only in the cloud. We never mentioned that, but there are companies that for better or worse they have needs that are related to the on-prem part, and they cannot just brush aside those things. And I want to make it clear that it is not something that works only if you are pure cloud. Of course, it's a cloud technology, so if you have a cloud presence and an on-prem presence, it works absolutely great. So there is no impedance mismatch in that sense. It will not force you to do something that you don't want, or like you don't have to like ditch all of your on-prem part and suddenly forklift everything you have in the cloud. On the contrary, I think many companies lately discover that, for example, I'm talking from the point of view of cost, that it's not making a lot of sense to keep everything on-prem or everything in the cloud. So many companies are looking at hybrids, like having parts that make sense or that they have to be on-prem, and then having workloads in the cloud, different clouds. Aviatrix enables all of that, so there is no mismatch or no conclusion that, okay, if I'm using Aviatrix, then I have to move all of this in the cloud and nothing will work and I cannot do that. No, it's not the case. It covers all bases from this point of view. And my main how to say, the lesson from my experience in using it is that it is absolutely essential to use the right tool for the job. It sounds simple recommendation because you have to recognize when you don't have the right tool for the job, and that right. might be hard because of bias, because of history, because of legacy, where you work, what your company uses. But that's my main take, that when you use the right tool for the job, the return on the investment is maximum.
No, that's great sort of advice. Use the right tools for the job. I like that.
No, I think like that. This is something that I have just one thing I want to add, John, just to echo what was once said, right? Initially, if you invest in the right technology, the return that you get down the road is even higher than when you initially deployed it. Because what it does is basically your expansion becomes easier, and you can basically meet the speed of opportunity, right? So if the opportunity comes and you want to expand things, you want to train your teams, you want to do day-to operations, if you have invested in the right technology, the returns are going to continue to exponentially grow, even a lot more than what you initially started to see. So it's a very good, right. good point.
And that's that's an intelligent strategy, right? And not something for today or just for tomorrow, you know? You've got to look longer term beyond what you can see. But fantastic, Razvan, you know, absolutely great.
Time now. Want to keep it short. Thank you, Razvan, so much for coming here and sharing your thoughts with our audience. Always good to find people who have been there, done that in the cloud. Community needs that information and they want to talk and listen to the people who have this experience. So very much appreciate you coming here and spend some time with us.
Thank you, Sue, and thank you for taking the time.
It's been enlightening. It's been enlightening, educational for me.
Thank you.
Thank you.